Hello.
Yay! Guess what we have this week?
Is that a question for me or the
Time.
viewers?
The viewers, we have time this week, so we don't gotta rush like last.
Yeah, definitely. We have a
All
lot more time than last week.
right. Yes. See, Mondays are equal free day off, especially for Mr. Shrimp who works. So,
Yeah.
like, unlike last Friday, where legit I had to do my speed run on the gym. We had to talk. We have time to talk about everything, and I just wanna, just like, for Skyla, I wanna do an episode after where we talk about all the gyms and we go a little more in detail about them.
All right.
I don't know, maybe, but we have time. And guys, beware, for winter is coming, or in
You know,
fact, winter is here because that's what Mr. Shrimp and I did for of the story. It's a lot better in winter, and yeah, we got an ice type gym leader. So if
funnily enough, in real life, you know that it's actually going to snow on Friday?
Oh, nice. Oh wait, no, not nice. Halloween Saturday.
Yep. We're
I don't
skipping
know. Well, I
fall and
mean, it's
going
not like
straight to
anyone's
winter, baby.
it's not like anyone's going trick or treating anyway. So yeah, winter is coming. So brace yourselves. But how have you been? We recorded what, Friday?
Yes, we
No.
did. Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah. Okay. And so how's your weekend?
Busy. Just like every other day. But it was less busy because I was doing, well, it was more fun kind of busy because we finally took down Fatalis in Monster Hunter, and I built my
Nice.
girlfriend's cat a set of stairs so that she can get her chunky
That was
ass
cute.
from the floor to her little window perch.
Yeah, that's cute. So before we talk about black and white, I just want to talk about freaking Pokemon Go for a second. Because not only has Mega Pidgeot come out, which I don't have yet, Mega Houndoom has come out, don't have it yet. Mega Gengar has come out, don't have it yet. But a lot of the ghost types, I'm liking the costumes this year.
Yo.
For raids, they're reusing last year's starters and Pikachu.
All right.
So upset because I thought there was an actual Mimikyu for a second. I'm like, oh wait, no, they're not gonna do that. Don't be stupid. This morning I caught a Sableye with a Litwick hat, and at first when I saw the shadow of it on the radar, I was like, hey, this looks like one of the elemental monkeys. I knew what it was, but it was a funny thought how they have a similar body pattern.
Yeah, they do. Yo, Ow. Hey, so I'm playing Pokemon Black right now, and I just encountered a Dredigon. Is that a rare encounter?
Yeah, no. There's like a 10% chance in the tower if you explore the grass in, I think, don't quote me on, if you're in the grass right next to the gym, there's a 10% chance, except in the winter where it decreases to 5%. Dragon's really good. I like it. But the fact that they give you your first cat, no, your second catchable dragon right outside of the an ice type gym, it's completely stupid.
Man, it's really funny to me.
But the last thing I want to say before we get into black and white, about Pokemon Go is I saw today, after I caught a Gengar, with the costume, actually that was a raid that we did. I noticed that it shows a thing for Mega Energy. I don't remember if it shows that it can Mega Evolve,
So it
but
so
the fact that it shows,
I can actually confirm this because
confirm.
So one of the things about there's two recent events that just went on. The Drifloon event that went on yesterday, and then if you completed the Mega Buddy Challenge from I think like a month ago, you also got Mega Gengar as an like a Mega Gengar like special research that gave you like 200 actually I think it was just 200 Mega Energy. And if you did the Mega not the Mega if you did the full Drifloon research, not only do you get a costume Gengar, but you also got 20 Mega Energy. I mean, no, not 20. You got another 100 Mega Energy. Excuse me. It was 20
Nice.
per research clear. So I actually have enough Mega Energy to Mega Evolve a Gengar. I'm not gonna Mega Evolve the costume one right now because
Mega
I have
Evolve
100%.
cost.
That's gonna do it. But we it can Mega
Oh,
Evolve, which
true.
is kind of nuts.
So can it Mega Evolve with the costume is the better question.
I haven't seen anybody try to Mega Evolve it, so not too sure about that one.
I'll give it a try. But going into today's episode, welcome guys to another episode of Team We Tried's Unova Project. As you guys know, Ideal Tryhards, here we are playing White Version.
And over here playing Black Version.
Yes, it's not awkward silence. There's a 5 second delay. Yes.
I mean, I'm just trying to think about names for my Druddigan because I just caught it.
I named it Igneel because I'm still trying to finish Fairy Tail.
Fair enough.
But before we got into Twist Mountain in Icarus City, we got Surf from Alder after beating Charon and Charon being salty. And Surf is one of my favorite moves. I gave it to Percy, and you can bet with Fly and Surf, I did a lot of backtracking. Like, yes,
Oh, yeah,
I went
actually.
back to Route 3.
I think the.
There's a cave in Route 3.
Hold on, go on.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that
No, go ahead.
what's it called? So the only two HMs that are really important that we're missing are Dive and Waterfall.
Yeah. Waterfall, I don't remember where to get, and Dive, I know 100% it's post game.
That's fair.
But, okay, so all the backtracking I did, just as a quick thing, I went to Route 3 to Wellspring Cave because if you go, there's surf, and then you can go to the basement of the cave, there's a ton of items. So I definitely went and did that right away. Also on Route 3, right before we get to, the Korean City. If you surf up, there's an item. I believe it's a full heal. I went and got that. There's also a breeder with a fully evolved elemental monkeys. So free EXP because they're like level 30 something. And I overtrained. Not sorry.
We all know.
And then right away, I went to Route 1. You know, it's always nice to go home. It's always nice to get TMs from Professor Juniper for seeing a certain amount of Pokemon. So I got the first two TMs on that run. And right outside of Route 1 is Route 17 and 18. And yes, I caught lots of Pokemon with that. And I'll go over all the Pokemon I caught once we wrap up our what we did section.
Right.
But I got an egg. So and I knew it was gonna be a Volcarona, so I took my bike and biked around that small area for God knows how long. And finally evolved my Volcarona named Mothra. I mean, no, it's a Larvesta, then a Volcarona.
Right.
Well, Larvesta is going to be an ass to evolve.
Ooh.
It evolves at level 69, 68, 69, I believe. I want to
Yeah,
cry.
it's gonna take a unfortunate amount of time in order to get that.
Oh, and we can catch one, but guess what?
It's also at level 70. Way,
And
way
it's
late.
post game.
Yeah. Way, way
So,
late.
Fallen Taylor Swift teardrops on my guitar. Yeah, sucks. But the fact that this is our egg, our game egg, it's the new Togepi, the new Riolu, or at least it was new at the time. It's really nice. And I felt like a fire and bug type that's actually good, it's worth putting the effort in. Let's see, backtracking. Oh, Driftvale City, I went there and I got a water stone. So now I have three fully evolved avatar named Elemental Monkeys. Yes. And then Route 6, I got the first of the three quote unquote useless legendary trio. Because there's no plot significance. But yeah, Challenger's Cave, I did that, and I think that was all the backtracking I did. How much did you do for
Well,
backtracking?
since last time, I actually haven't had too much time to get on, but I know that I went to the cave on Route 3 where Barizion is supposed to be. Was not there, so I had to backtrack all the way back out, and I'm like, well, I'm.
What cave did you go to? Viridian's in Pinwheel Forest.
I thought she was in a cave in Pinwheel Forest.
No. It's like if you go left and you go all the way, no, if you go right and then you go all the way back, it's a roomification field. It's a field.
Huh.
covered by small rocks.
Well,
can't get in because there's.
Well, I went into some random cave apparently that just had level 35 Pokemon running around, and I'm like, okay, like it's not a problem, except I'm training like four Pokemon that are like level 20 and below, so I can get their evolutions for the Pokedex.
Yeah.
So
you gotta show me a picture of what cave so I know where you are.
I'll after. Because Anchor is gonna be weird about it. Anyway.
Don't worry. No, I just need to know.
I went back out and went and I tried to go catch Cobalion. Took me forever because he was super stubborn, but I did get him. And after that, it was going up through Twist Mountain so we could continue on with the story. And man, let me tell you guys, Twist Mountain, for a first timer, I thought it was going to be very straightforward. And like, you know, it would have been like a path straightforward with like a couple offshoots and whatever. No, there's like 10 paths. Twist Mountain. Dude. There's like 10 paths none of them tell you which is the right way to go. So you have to go find it. And each of those paths have at least 2 offshoots. Some of them even have 4. So it's like, there's so much to do and so many places to go. And the encounter rate there is ridiculously high. So you're...
Yeah, it is.
God damn, dude.
So for me, having played before, I knew that the fastest way to get in and out... Well, I knew where to go, but even faster than knowing where to go is setting it to winter. And I gave Mr. Shrimp this heads up because in the center of the cave, it's hollow, which leads into more paths. During the winter, a lot of these paths are covered. Yeah, but you can cut through the middle. This makes it, you save at least an hour of struggle.
You really do. Because I turned it to winter, like in the middle of the gym. So I turned it to winter. It isn't the gym, but in the middle of the dungeon, I turned into winter. I went back out, and it's like, oh, you can literally just go exactly where you need to. Like, most of the paths that are like extraneous that you don't have to care about are like blocked off, so you don't have to care at all. It's very, very nice.
So, two fun facts. Number one, post game, one of those paths, even in the winter, it's one of the accessible ones. This is where we get fossils, so super hyped because, you know, I'm going to be digging up fossils and getting more Pokemon. And also, you know how in Pinwheel Forest there's that mossy rock right at the entrance? In one of these paths, I think the same one where the fossil guy is, there's an icy rock. So if we somehow get Eevees into this game, that's how you get Leafeon and how you get
Glaceon. Oh, sick. That's actually pretty cool.
So if we get Eevees, cry on the inside.
Oh, that doesn't make me feel good.
But as soon as we get out of Twist Mountain, which took forever, or do you want to talk about the Pokemon we caught?
Well, there's only a couple ones that are really important. For one, I finally got my Swanna.
I found very.
Two, I got a Cubchoo. But the main event is that I caught an Axew while I was at Twist Mountain. Nice. Yeah, man, it was like my third encounter, which was actually like really, really nice because I'm like, man, I don't know how rare this is, but I know Haxorus, the final form of Axew, is OD, so I'm gonna take that.
Oh no, it is. I'm still trying to evolve my Fissure because I managed to get one, but going into the catches because I put a lot of time and effort into thinking of nicknames. I like to show them off. So I just gotta find real quick what I caught so far, because my boxes are not clean in the slightest.
Neither am I.
First one is also I at first I was just catching Pokemon. I noticed that I caught like let's say I had a Lillipup already like last year, as you guys know. If I caught a Herdier, and that would just leave Lassie in the box as a Lillipup. I'm like, well, why don't I just erase or release the Pokemon that I have the evolved forms of, make space, and then just cram everything as I can into boxes. Now I don't know where anything is.
It do be like that.
It's a shame.
Personally, what I do with my boxes is I actually put the Pokemon roughly either based on their type or where I found them. Like I put them in like like matching boxes. So like a lot of cave Pokemon, I put them in box, what is it, 8? So they can be in like caves, and I'm like, okay, that's the cave box. I should probably go there to find like rock types or whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing something similar or putting them in numerical order, but that's going to take too much time. It is what it is at this point.
Honestly, yeah.
So before I get into what I caught, honorable mention, at this point, my Litwick, which had evolved around me going through Route 17 and 18, it had evolved into a Lampent. And in Twist Mountain, I somehow stumbled across a Duskstone in one of those puffs of smoke.
Yep.
The yeah, dust man. Clouds. So I managed to evolve it right away, which I'm super excited for, because the first Duskstone that you get that isn't random is on Route 10. But having that extra firepower before an Ice type gym, so worth.
Yeah, man.
Getting into the Pokemon I have one box called Trade, and I'm looking there to make sure I didn't catch anything that I was going to trade. And I did. So I caught a Grander, which I named Big, you know, to be the most big.
Still funny.
Always funny. I want to say, here we go. Did you catch a Cryogonal?
No, I did not. I don't know where he is.
He's in the cave. In Twist Mountain, I mean, during the winter. I caught one. I named it Frozone. Because, you know, it's an ice type Frozone.
I only saw him in the gym.
I caught a Cubcute. I named it Cold because it's got a cold. And, you know, if you don't feel bad for it, you're...
Oh, dude, heartless. I should have named mine Flu Shot. Dang, that would have been funny.
That would have been nice. along Route 17... I caught 2 Frillish, 1 male, 1 female. You tell the difference because one is blue and one is pink. And Pokemon still believes in gender roles. And I named them Romeo and Juliet because I thought it'd be really nice. That's fair. I also caught a Crustle named Cancer because it represents the zodiac symbol for Cancer in Unova. So,
oh, I thought you were just saying it was
toxic. You know, and I already named... No, and I already named Clink Gemini for the same reason. Okay. So it kind of made sense. I want to see real quick. I don't think I caught anything else in Twist Mountain. But in Icarus City, there are patches of grass. I caught a Mianfu named Tapuka. And I caught Drugadin. And I named Igneel, as I mentioned before. And, yeah. Those are my catches.
Hey, man. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I guess also Dragon Spiral Tower. I caught a Gotlet named Alphonse, because Full Metal Alchemist. And I also, as I mentioned in the last episode, I have Cobalion named Athos, and I have Virizion named Aramis, based off of their counterparts for the Three Musketeers. And now, the story.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to go like Ethos, Pathos, and Logos.
Nah, they're the three Swords of Justice are based off of the Three Musketeers. And even the one we can't get, what's its name? Keldeo. That's also based off the Apprentice of the Three Musketeers.
Is that why it's smaller and so technically weaker until it gets its new form?
Yeah, and why it's a Mystic, and the other three are.
And also, why it seems to have like a hard on for taking out Kyurem.
And also, why it's a Brony.
Wow, a lot of things line up. A lot of things line up there.
Yeah, but getting into the story, like, as per usual, Unova doesn't give us a rest when we reach a new city, and right away we see Cedric Juniper, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna go to the Dragon Spiral Tower. And Dragon Spiral Tower, he tells us, even before we can even reach it, is the birthplace of the legendary dragons Reshiram and Zekrom. And going into what we know about the dragons, there was once one original dragon. It's split into two. So I'm wondering, is this the birthplace of the original dragon, or is this the tower where they broke up into two dragons?
That is actually a good question.
Oh, also, in this episode, there is a lot that I want to say as far as Reshiram and Zekrom, considering we get to see them for the first time. or one of them at least, for the first time here. But back to story, because we're not there yet. How was the gym for you?
Well, I think the gym puzzle was pretty cool. Well, I liked it anyway. I think it was cute.
Yeah,
so,
describe the gym.
Basically, the gym was a standard ice physics gym where once you step on an ice tile, you keep going in that direction until you hit like a wall, like you stop. And how they put a spin on it is quite literally they spin you. So you run into like these curved wooden or metallic, maybe. You go into the wooden structures that spin you and curve your arc until you hit like a circle platform. And then you can continue like sliding across the floor from there. And how you get to different places in the gym is you press different buttons for it. And you slide over like different pits of gravel. You can actually slide and go like hop up little ramps and stuff, which is actually incredibly dangerous because you can't see that, like, the ramps go over pits. There's no safety and you can't see the bottom of those pits. It's pitch black. Yeah. So it's like, man, what if I fuck up that jump? What are you gonna do, bro?
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode. I may have, where I mentioned one video of a YouTuber I watch. He talked about how dangerous different gyms were. If I didn't mention it in the last episode, and he doesn't know about this, so
he's not sponsored. You did. No.
Go check out Mandy J TV. He's got an episode on how dangerous gyms are. Skyler's gym, which was the last gym he made, as he said, was the most dangerous, and I think I explained why. You know, cannons shooting at metal walls, splat into a wall, it's not nice. But this was one of the top contestants, and it's because it's an ice challenge, and most ice challenges were up there anyways, but it's because of the spinning gears. Let's say you're sliding around and you don't get the right angle.
Oh, good.
Who knows where you're going to end up. There are also these ramps that you go on. You run, hop over a gap, hop on another ramp, and keep sliding until you're safe. If you get that at the wrong angle, you fall into a pit of darkness. That is the abyss. That's the distortion world right there. That's, you know, blood
yeah,
point
to say,
zero,
you
know, enter the shadow realm.
Straight to the shadow realm, homie.
Now, it's nice for us because we can only move in four directions. But let's look at this realistically. Do you think you can actually make that jump?
No, God, no. Dude, you know how fast you're going?
On top of that, the ramp itself is made of ice. So if you somehow get the speed to even slide up, it's still a ramp. You're going to slide back down. You have to be fast enough to clear the ramp and still gain enough height and momentum to clear the gap and somehow make it onto the ramp. Not halfway, because if you try to grab onto something, it's ice. You're going to slide down into the abyss. Mm-hmm. You got to clear it completely. Like,
not
that's
to mention,
not okay.
so much of your momentum is coming from you literally just running. You're just running at the ramp. That's where most of your momentum is coming. So if you get a bad start, you're flubbernucked the whole time.
What's even worse is it's an ice challenge. You don't even have to run. You take one step on the ice and you move. So you have one step to get enough momentum to clear the ramp, clear the gap, and safely make it to the other ramp and somehow stop yourself on safe ground.
Crazy.
I love this gym.
But still.
It's so cool. No pun intended.
But yeah, so the gym for me was a clean sweep. I have two fire type Pokemon. My Litwick Cherish, who I was trying to get free experience. But funnily enough, apparently ice type beats fire type. Because guess what? She got frozen twice in the same... Bro.
Ouch.
She ate dog dude that whole gym. So I'm just like, you know what, all right, rail I'm not rail Reiki, yo man, you gotta do it, man. You gotta show her what's what. So Reiki went in and flame charged and hammer armed his entire way through that gym. I've never seen anything more free than that, like, ever.
Like, you understand how Clay was for me. And to be honest, Bryson was the exact same way for me. As I mentioned, I mean, I was going to use this to train Lumiere no matter what. And because I thought I was only going to get it as a Lampent, you know, get the experience until I can evolve it. Finding that Duskstone in Twist Mountain and giving it the stat boost of evolving, no trouble at all. I went in, flame burst everything and burned the thing down. And then we finally reached my favorite part of the gym. Instead of going all the way around and doing that puzzle in reverse, they give you a slide. If you go down that slide, like the split second before you reach safe land, there's a small glitch where the screen just like shrinks in a bit and goes back to normal.
Why did that happen? I didn't see that. What happened? What did that happen?
So essentially what happens is, because this is the first introduction to curves in a game like this, and we see this in First Bridge, this thing is also structured in a similar manner, where it's curved on a game where you can move in four directions. So, and also because they're playing with camera angles all the way down, there's a split second where the whole screen shrinks a bit and then goes back to normal. I'll see if I can show you on a video or something. And I don't think anyone's ever talked about it. Give me.
We'll put it in the comments, guys. All right, if you guys know what we're talking about, please also put it in the comments. Spread the knowledge. Also, since he's a little bit busy right now, can I just say that the legendary battle music in Black and White is godlike, just like every other track in this game. Like, honestly, that got me super hyped. When I was trying to catch Cobalion, amazing.
One second, gotta move things. I think people would have respect when I'm out.
It do be like no, but hey man, I can carry a show for right now. So listen, guys, I'm gonna be honest. I'm still
no, I'm good.
Okay. So I'm gonna be honest. I'm still going through Dragon Tower right now. Hopefully, Karasu can hear at least some of this. Okay.
Yeah. Tell us what happens before, like when you leave the gym, because that's
as soon as you finish the gym, and you leave, you meet Sharon and Bianca outside, and they're like, "Oh, hey, Rael, hey, what's going on?" But then Bryson comes out and he says, "Who are you?" Karen introduces himself and Bianca introduces herself, and he's like, "What? No, I'm, yeah, that's great, but I'm not really talking to you. Show yourself." And then the Shadow Triad pops out, and they said that it's impressive that Bryson saw them, but they're not there for him. They're there for me, like us, like the player. So we were told to go to Dragon Spiral Tower, and there we would meet N, and that's where most of Team Plasma is right now. So Bryson, he's trying to ask questions. The Shadow Triad literally just disappears in his face, like, LMAO, you thought? And then they just, like, run off. So Charon and Bryson both go to Dragon Spiral Tower ahead of us, and we start trying to head over there. Bianca comes up and says that, wow, I don't know where my train of thought went. I'm trying to think of Professor Juniper. No, I'm thinking of Professor Bianca. Juniper, because remember how we went into Icarus City?
Oh.
And
Cedric.
So this is the Professor Juniper that's, like, not ours, it's her dad. There you go.
Cedric so Juniper.
He's in front of the entrance to the entrance to Dragon Spiral Tower, like the forest entrance. And he says to us that, you know, Team Plasma's over there and Dragon Spiral Tower is, like, really important, but it's also really risky to go over there because Team Plasma's there. There's a bunch of new Pokemon over there that we've never seen before. So it's like, you know, you could go, but you don't have to. And Bianca's like, you know what? I'm not really that strong, so let me just be your bodyguard. But Rael and Charon are OD. Let them go handle it. And Cedric's like, Yeah, all right. You know, that sounds like a great idea. Hey, Ariel.
Wraps an arm around her. Hey, yeah, let's totally do that. Excellent plan. Good job, Bianca.
So,
you know, without the creepy,
the full on predator vibes. But yeah, go on.
So yeah, some quick. So going to the moment where, we see Bryson. He's in this martial arts type. You know, kind of take him for a fighting type if he didn't have the gym or the people he fought before him. He's also got this weird anime weeb vibe.
Yeah.
Because of how he's dressed. So when he's out and notices the Shadow Triad, I'm wondering, is that because he can sense them as a martial artist? Or is that he's noticing them because of weeb instincts?
If it wasn't for us, he's like definitely nanny. The protagonist of his own story. So I think it's just weeb instinct.
All right, cool. It's not just
but,
me.
Yeah, go on.
And then go
back into the tower. Right now, I think I'm on floor 5 with a question mark. I really haven't been paying too much attention because I've been talking this whole time. But I'm right where...
You might have to just
well, the floor looks there's like. There's a Team Plasma Sage here. I think that tells you all you need to know.
Okay, yeah.
To talk a little bit.
Yeah. So, on the way up,
oh, you're going there.
I do want to add this one thing. On the way up, Charon says something that he says in the Black and White 2 trailer, that he says, the first time you teamed up with him in Wellspring Cave when you first reached Route 3, he says, oh, what a bother. And that infuriates me. Like, how arrogant can you be? You're second best at best. And when you see Team Plasma, they're a bother. Like, you've been handling them this whole time.
I always thought that he was saying, oh, what a bother to the Team Plasma guys. Because I feel like he feels like he could have taken them both on. But, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I think it's just that, like,
bored.
I think it's just like the Team Plasma guys are super weak, and Charon knows that, and he's like, yo, can you stop? Just give me the Pokemon back. And so we come in, and then he's like, okay, look, listen, these guys are real boring, bro. I need to just take him so we can speed this up. Like, I think that's what he was saying it to. Like, that's what I took it as, anyway.
I take it as, because his entire gimmick is, I want to be the most strong. That's it. That's all I want, to be strong. So people recognize my strength. Dude, just learn HM5. So AHM4. Just learn it.
Piggybacking off of that,
get
too.
It out of the way.
Like, Charon, right as we leave the ice gym, Charon and Bianca, when they're out there, I didn't talk too much about what they said, but Charon basically was like, he's really taking stuff to heart. Because he's been thinking a lot about what he's going to do with his newfound strength once he finds it. And he even says it. He's like, I'm thinking about what I am doing, thinking about what I should be doing, where my strength is going to lead me in the future. Like, I'm really thinking about it. And it's actually, like, a very, very nice, it's a very, very nice progression. Yeah.
It's character. It's growth. It is. It's about time he got it too, because like Bianca got hers during the third gym where she met Iris, so she begins her trend there, and it doesn't reach its peak until, you know, she tells her father, this is what I want to do, and Elisa, the supermodel, is like, you know what, let your daughter do what she wants. He's like, yes, listen to the really hot gym leader. And she's just been growing from there, but that was when she peaked in her character development, and he hasn't peaked until just now. Despite the fact that 2 seconds later he's back to his arrogant, oh my god, these guys are,
I mean,
so
to be fair,
me.
They're both type. Charon and Bryson are in Dragon Spiral Tower, taking on 3 Team Plasma grunts at once and still winning.
Right. That doesn't mean got to be Seto Kaiba.
I don't know, man. Kaiba's got a point.
But yeah, are you ready to get to the top floor?
One other thing that I did want to say happens, is that Bianca. I think Bianca is selling herself a little short, because now she's just saying that she's not strong at all and that she's better suited for other things. And I'm like, that's not really true. Like, you don't have to be the ultimate trainer to be a strong person. Just like knowing your weaknesses, but not selling yourself short. I think that's her next step in her journey.
Yeah. And hopefully we get to see that before the post game and before Black and White 2, because there's a lot of, it's a 2-year gap. There's going to be instant development the way we see it. But no, you're absolutely right.
So I just got surrounded by 14 plasma grunts. Do I have to fight them all at the same time? Good.
Oh, no.
Son of a...
No, it's one at a time. And it's super annoying because it's one at a time.
I thought it was going to be like a whole thing. Son of a... Oh. All right.
Yeah. While he does that, I'd like to talk about today's sponsor. And today's sponsor is... And this is something I probably should have planned out instead of just saying it.
Today's sponsor is myself. It's me. I'm sponsoring him. Stop using super.
No, I'm buying you time to battle.
Listen, I'm battling as much as I can.
Get out of here.
Crocodile.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest. We don't have a sponsor. We don't have.
Why not talk about? Why not talk about some of the legendaries that like what they represent? I don't know. Good.
Oh yeah. So going into Dragon Spiral Tower, that's an absolutely good point. This is a focal point for the mascots of the games, which are Zekrom and Reshiram, and so far the game heavily pushes into them being based off of truth and ideal. It's such an ambiguous concept, and I was wondering if there was more to it. So I did my research, and oh my god, yes, there are. Obviously, most Pokemon are based off of more than one thing. Percy the Samurai is a samurai otter. Reiki is a pig demon fighter. The list goes on and on. But for these two specifically, the idea of balance goes far beyond a duo, of course. It's a trio where we see, what's its name? What's the Kyurem? Ice type? Yes, Kyurem. I want to start off with their names, and I want to do this as a kind of we record it after and I tell you about it type thing, because it might take a bit of time, but that's fine. That's fine. So let's start with their names. What are their names? And I'm going to be talking about all three of them. First, we have Zekrom, we have Reshiram, and we have Kyurem. And right away, if you just compare the two mascots, you notice the sounds in their names. Zek being a harder sound, and Resh being a softer sound to pronounce. This shows masculinity and feminine. And a feminine aspect, which you can also see in their character designs. Zekrom is a hard-scaled dragon, whereas Reshiram itself is fluffy and light. One is black, the other is white. And I want to take a pause for a second, and instead of talking about them as, you know, yin and yang, the obvious thing, I want to talk about them in terms of alchemy. And you want to give a quick explanation what is alchemy for the non-FMA watchers?
There's a lot to alchemy, but one the main basic thing is that it's basically taking it's equivalent exchange of one material for another. So you're taking lead and you're taking that exact amount of lead and turning it to an exact amount of gold. And it's I'm just saying is that you could do it, and while there are rules around it, like that's the main point, that's the main focus, that energy is that like energy and matter don't get destroyed, they can just be changed. So you're basically taking that principle and turning what you want into anything of what else you want, but it has to be equal.
And if that sounds like chemistry or science in general, it's because it is. I believe it's who wrote the laws? Newton's laws, I believe, have a similar structure where matter or energy cannot be created or destroyed. And in this case, the science checks out. Neither Reshiram or Zekrom could beat each other in the original history of Unova. Neither one could be created or destroyed. But going into past their names and going into alchemy, let's start with the idea of an original dragon. What is that original dragon? What does it represent, and how does it connect to the two or three dragons if we include Kyurem? There is so much, and to be honest, a lot of this comes from the Loxin Noggin YouTube video about this, which is, yeah, before we did our project, I did my research, I did my homework. I wanted to be prepared for this very moment. And instead of going upstairs to check out the paperwork I have on this, I'm going to go with what I committed to memory. So there's, I forget what the expression he uses, explaining how one becomes two. But there are two dragons in alchemy, which is essentially just coded chemistry. And these two dragons are known as the two contraries. The two contraries are two dragons, one eating another's tail, and they form a weird two dragon Ouroboros. One dragon is a black, scaly, four-limbed beast, and the other is fluffy and white and has
It's
wings. Does it
because
sound
it's literally the
familiar?
two dragons.
Yeah, so this is where we get their actual designs. It's not yin and yang. It's a bit more than that. And
You
yeah,
know,
I'm
I can
going
hear
upstairs
it,
for my
yeah.
paperwork. I don't have this as committed to memory. I'm not as committed to memory as I thought I was. And I am ashamed.
Dude,
All of that
literally all the
time
big
looking it
YouTubers
up,
have scripts and notes. It's
writing
okay.
it down. No, that's the thing. They have their scripted notes. I put mine aside. I'm like, oh, we'll get there when we get there. And then when we get there, I don't have it on me. If you judge me, it's okay. I probably judge
It do be
myself a
like that.
lot more. Shoot. I'm gonna be 110% honest. It was where I needed it. I knew where it was until I got
Stop trying to
there.
use Super Fang on me. There's a
Tell us what's
stupid
going
watch
on
on,
there,
and he
and
keeps
I'll
using
get.
Super Fang, and you're wasting my time.
It's okay, so am I.
All right, at least this watchdog is really stupid. Okay, I just beat the fourth one. All right.
Shoot. I'm gonna be 100% sincere. I'm gonna have to dig through my desk. You're gonna hear that while you tell us
Well, I
what's
just
going
beat four of
on.
these dudes in a row
Because
because
this
these
is the
guys don't know
moment I
team
wanted.
tactics. That's the main thing right now. And now they got scared because I just whooped them. And now I don't know what to do. Which is exactly what
Now
I'm
you can
doing.
go upstairs.
Do, 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 do.
No
Yo,
magical help.
the architecture in
Fight
this place
and beat
is
them and then take their
ridiculous.
money.
I don't know how it
That's the
works.
moment you realize you can
Oh, hey, look, we got N here.
To be honest, a lot of here. Yeah, go ahead,
Oh, this is
describe
actually
that.
awesome. Hold on.
Yeah, no,
Okay,
tell us what's going on.
so I'm here on the top floor. N is standing. Like, they actually have, like, N's full model here standing looking up at Zekrom. And this whole time, Zekrom has been going nuts at the top of this tower, man. Just, like, smashing things, throwing boulders, setting buildings on fire left and right. Like, yo, man, he's been going nuts, though. And now N's trying to talk to me about how they'll lead the way to the new world. Wait, you're literally he's getting a legendary just so he
Tell me
can
why I
go
found the script
trample the people
for
over at the
the
Pokemon Champion because he doesn't want to do it himself. Yo, go train. Stop
Yeah.
trying to get a shortcut.
No, that's what he did. Wait, that's
so
what he's
okay. So he
do.
Just said that it's a world for Pokemon, only for Pokemon. That's the reality that he wants. So he's trying to murder humanity. That's what he. That's what he became. What the?
Yeah.
Yo, N has lost himself in this ideal, man.
Now, I want you to say that again, but use the word truth. Say that
he
one
he
more
lost,
time, but use the
he
word.
He doesn't have truth. The truth. He doesn't have access to that.
In my case, he does, and that makes it 10 times scarier because it's quote
no, man. Truth. Like, he doesn't have access to the truth in that game either. The truth is that genocide is not the answer. It is an answer, but it's a really stupid one. You could, oh my god.
The stakes have been raised like never before. Because as you
no
said,
man, no, he's not the hero. Side. Okay, now Charon and Bryson are up here, and they're like, dude, what happened? And I'm telling them, yo, we got the next Hitler right here. And they're like, bro, serious? And I'm like, no, wait, it's not regular Hitler. It's mega Hitler. He's not going after just one kind of person. He's going after all of them, every single person.
Now, hold that thought. We don't have mega for another
generation. You want me to say super Hitler? I don't know if that makes it any better, homie. Hitler 2.0?
See, the fact that you're comparing them, the fact that you're putting them on the same level, I don't think any of that is, I guess, noticeably...
But
no, those are terrible.
He's literally trying to wipe out. Okay, I guess he's not racist. He's just speciesist because he's not. It's not a specific race he's going for. It's an entire species. It's us, including himself. What?
No, yeah, including himself. That's the thing. Like, he's a person too. Supposedly.
All right. So now this fire type later. Is coming back. If it isn't Alder, like that's his name. His hair.
Fire type.
I think he's a fire type.
What?
I've done this every single time. Because
yes,
that's the
have,
only way.
Which is why I keep
him.
Questioning you. Man, I mean, I remember him for being a person.
Hey man, too many names.
I don't know.
Man.
That's
too many
just
names.
Me.
Yo, listen, right? The truth about me is that I am terrible with names, team. I'm real, real bad with those.
All right, so I'm going to give up on looking for that. I'm going to give you guys, like, the crash course. If you want to know more, look up Locks and Noggins. He'll give you the specifics. But going into the three dragons... I forget what he says for turning three dragons into for turning one dragon into two dragons. But there is a thing that he talks about that turns three dragons into two, which I know is not until Black and White 2, but you know, it's so that everything adds up. I'm talking about everything adding up, we can also look at their types which add up. What do these three represent? Well, essentially the Philosopher's Stone. Essentially.
For the desert resort. That's where the Relic Castle is. Okay. Thanks, Bianca.
So I'm talking about the Philosopher's Stone. You know, the sixth element. And you're like, yes.
I actually
enjoy this.
I'm way stronger and I can just go like, ha-ah, ha-ah. So like most of the Pokemon that are back there.
Yeah. So while he backtracks, I'm going to give you guys a bit of a chem lesson. So these three dragons represent a sophic element. And what does sophic mean? Sophic has to do with the spiritual side of the element. In this case, being sulfur, being salt, and being sophic mercury. I believe mercury was aligned with Reshiram. Sulfur was aligned with Zekrom. And sophic salt, for sure, was aligned with Kiram. And while the first two act as passive and active truth and ideals,
why does salt align with the ice type, which has nothing to do with our story and we don't even see until post-game in the second game? Or we can't catch until post-game or
yo,
post-game
man,
of
there's
Black
more and
and White
more
2.
salt the more you talk about it. Holy shit.
Legit, there is. But what does salt do when you put it on ice? It freezes things. And I guess in this case, when it comes to sulfic mercury, sulfic salt, sulfic sulfur, what's the difference between sulfur and salt? Don't ask
me. I won't ask you.
Not that invested. Is it freezes them in order to trigger a reaction? Well, alchemists believe back then was that reaction caused and formed the Philosopher's Stone. And I mean, I guess this is the perfect place to revolutionize the Philosopher's Stone in a place based on New York. Why? Because what's one key ingredient of the Philosopher's Stone? It's the soul. I believe it was sulfic sulfur that represented the soul. But how many souls do you need to create a functioning Philosopher's Stone? Something that actually works. Hypothetically, if we look at other things like Fullmetal Alchemist, you need an entire country. But essentially, you just need a densely populated area where that energy is concentrated. And of all the regions we found so far, and we look at their real-world counterparts, New York by far is the most densely populated. It's a tragic and
dark
origin.
Oh, that would be messed up. Yeah, that would be messed up.
Now, it can't get much darker than that, can it? No, but it can get political. So, I know I end episodes by saying I'm not political, but please be safe when you're voting and all that. But we can look at
Zephyr. Man, it does not get that much
politics.
Darker than that.
Are
I don't
you
know,
ready?
Homie. I
are you ready, kids?
Aye, Captain.
Jeez, Captain's the name. Never mind. So what does Rashomon represent? The truth. We can consider this a passive thing because when you view something as the truth, you're like, okay, that's just how it is. That is just how life is. Now, if you're an idealist, you're more active in your belief. This is how life could be, so I'm going to strive to make things better or make things, I don't know, let's say my goal is world domination. I strive for that ideal. Whereas if world domination were already true, you know, I wouldn't have to work so hard. Rashomon being passive and Zekrom being active, we can also see in their base elements two forms of plasma, fire, which, yes, it spreads and it burns, but compared to lightning, it stands still. Lightning, electricity, it's very active. Now, how do we see this politically? When it comes to the truth, which political party is the most passive?
Is that a question for me? Oh, okay.
Some people say liberals. And in general, we can call this the liberal side of things.
I don't know, homie. I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
So, no, liberals are the idea. No, I got it wrong. Liberals are the idealists.
That's what it was.
Conservatives were passive. And if we want to broaden that horizon, conservatives are more represented with which political party?
Red.
Which are represented by which color? Which is the same color as fire. Liberals are
Democrats.
Most associated with which political party?
Which are blue.
Which are? Which color? And which color is on the lightning dragon?
Well, her eyes are blue, but we could also put white there too.
Well, yeah, I guess. It's all adding up until you speak. Where's the mute button? We might have to do this into multiple segments to talk about
honestly,
I guess whatever else we have to say.
So
our continue.
I think talking about this origin is probably gonna be the last thing we're gonna do. I think we've covered a bunch of things so far. And I'm pretty happy with that progress.
Yeah. That's true.
I guess for next time I'll have my notes a bit better so I can talk about it better. Because these three dragons tie into a lot.
That they
and
do.
I want to make sure that this time I get it right. But the fact is, aside from the obvious truth and ideal, yin and yang, there's so much that connects them to alchemy. And what's alchemy essentially? It's symbolism. Symbolism and code for things that we see in real life. I'm also kind of remembering how the three dragons come into being from one original dragon. It's not one dragon splitting into two. Remember, they split into three because what's Kirim? Kirim's whatever's left over. I believe there was a three-headed dragon in alchemy, but this I'll have to cover in the notes, and then I think I'll do a recording, kind of like I did with my theory on the Straighten Brothers. Do that, add it to this episode, and let Mr. Shrimp listen.
The last part from the last episode?
That part, or?
About the Straighten Brothers. Actually, I have not.
Yeah.
Once again, this weekend was quite busy, so I haven't really had time to do much of anything.
I'm not the only disappointed.
Huh?
Probably wipes tears.
Questions for later. Questions for much, much later.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm going to... You guys are going to hear it right after this because of how it's posted. But I'm going to do my research real quick. Yes, watch the Locks and Noggins. Watch the episode. A lot of it's going to be what he says. But I'm going to be adding more because I've had the opportunity to research after what he
researched. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I was able to find a bit more. And it'll be a lot more organized. And it'll connect the whole thing. I might actually call Mr. Shrimp so he can react as the episode's going. That'll be like a later call. Give me at least an hour to
prep. Yo, real quick, how do
maybe
I...
Maybe two.
What's it called? How do I get onto the water path that's like on Route 3? Do you know how to get there?
If you go on Route 3, you go all the way...
Not in the cave.
The one in the cave or not in the cave? Okay, so if you go all the way down almost to Green City, there's a bridge with a little girl.
Oh, I don't
That's
have...
That's where you can surf.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Go on.
But...
Because I put my Swanna in the box so I can train
another you don't
Pokemon,
have surf.
I didn't get another Pokemon that knows surf, so I'm going to go get her back. Yes. Yes,
you taught
I did.
A swan to swim? I don't know. For me, I feel like that should have been safe for flying.
Which is why I taught him both fly and swim. It's super nice.
Also, to be fair, it's the only Pokemon that you can get that can... Not the only Pokemon that you can get that can surf.
You can get Basculin. You can do Palpitoad. You can do... I actually don't know Pampord...
Palpitoad.
Yeah. Well, I have
Toad if you evolve it.
What's his tits? The last one. You know what I'm talking about. No, I don't have Simipour.
Yeah. Simipour.
I don't have Simipour because I haven't. I literally just have not gone and evolved him in the box yet. I have Seismitoad. There we go. I think you can learn surf.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, you have a few options. I just find it weird that a bird gets taught how to surf.
Yeah, man.
That you're teaching a bird how to surf.
Yeah, man.
Scott,
what do you mean I couldn't get away from a level 10 Basculin? Run. It's faster than me? What do you mean?
You weren't fast enough. Oh, damn, I was going to say end cards, but like
That's it. That's my end
that's
card.
Amazing.
What do you mean I'm slower?
As you guys heard, the only truth that matters is that a level 40 plus
I actually have my level 37
level 10
Litwick out, and it's still slower. It's still slower. I gotta check out her nature because it's probably a minus speed nature.
That's true. I remember saying I was going to IV train, and that would mean looking at natures and stuff like that.
That's
like,
OD.
No,
you really
I
don't want to
do
that.
That. That's too much work. Yeah. So later you guys are going to hear a second part to this where Mr. Shrimp and I talk about the origins of the three legendary dragons And there will be some black and white too, spoiler as far as the legendaries go. We have 20 seconds left. He already did his end card. So guys, don't forget, stay safe, put on your masks. I know we're gonna end this episode later, but still, be safe. Don't forget, stay connected, stay disconnected in real life. And
And there we go.
very cool. Foremost, I'd like to apologize for all the confusion of me trying to find paperwork and tie in the origins of the three legendary dragons while we're discussing the whole this is what we're playing through at the moment. So hopefully this makes up for that. Shrimp is here to react to the origins of the legendary dragons and a theory that I didn't come up with. I saw a few things, I watched videos of things, and I kind of pieced together a few different things that I saw in order to make this. So it's not completely original, but I still think it's super mind-blowing. But before I get into it, Mr. Shrimp, do you want to tell us what we know about the dragons so far based on gameplay?
Sure, with gameplay. Well, we know a couple of things. For one, we do know that Zekrom embodies ideals. He's what's it called? So he's the much tougher, rougher dragon because I'm sure it symbolizes like truth in some way and how the truth can be harsh, but it's important. And Kyurem, not Kyurem, what's her name? Reshiram. There we go. So she embodies ideals. She's a lot fluffier, and she's the polar opposite of Zekrom. With these two, they've created the Unova region along with the hero, along with the hero of the region. And after that hero emerged, and Unova was brought to peace after a great war, but that broke out between humans and Pokemons. They finally, the hero disappeared, and they disappeared with the hero and awaited the emergence of a new one, which N really, really thinks he is, but we're the protagonist of the story, so we're gonna have to change his mind about that one, Chief.
All right, so I'm gonna give you guys the origins of the dragons. That includes their myth as it's portrayed in Pokemon Black and White and Black and White 2. Also a bit of the anime because it's all tied into the same lore. And then I'll give you my theory. So are you ready? Because I'm gonna throw a lot at you. Starting with the original dragons, we know their typings as Reshiram being a dragon fire type, Kyurem being dragon ice, and Zekrom being dragon electric. We know that Reshiram is white and Zekrom is black, Kyurem being a mix of them being gray. As you stated, Reshiram is very fluffy, very feminine. Even its name, Reshiram, has a soft flow to it. Red being because it was a soft sound, and Shiro meaning white. Whereas Zekrom was very hard, very masculine. Zekrom being a hard sound, and Kudo meaning black. Kyurem's name comes from a number of things. But if we look at it, it starts hard with a K sound and ends with a soft R, Kyurem. Among its names comes the meanings of snow, cold, and nothing. Not gray, though, which for me was a bit weird. Going into Taoism, as we know, they're based off of Yin Yang and Wuji. Reshiram represents Yang, whereas its opposite, Zekrom, represents Yin. Wuji is the absence of Yang or Yang. It's like, Kyurem is the absence of Zekrom or Reshiram, considering they were part of the original dragon that was split up, and now it has neither of them. But as a quick connection, Taoism show seemingly opposite and contrary forces that complement each other and are interconnected in the natural world. An example of this is Zekrom's eyes are red, which is associated with fire, which is Reshiram's type. And Reshiram's eyes are blue, which is associated with the color of the lightning of Zekrom. Also, as a side note, Reshiram is totally blue eyes white dragon, and Reshiram is red eyes black dragon. Yu-Gi-Oh connection much? Maybe. Okay, so also as stated, and this is exactly
Real quick, can you hear
connected
me?
to, yeah, we can hear
Okay,
you.
good.
And real quick, while this isn't connected to Taoism, as mentioned, Reshiram represents the truth, while Zekrom represents ideals, And the boundary Pokemon being Kyurem is a bit of a balance in between or nothing. Now, looking into alchemy, I mentioned three elements: Sulfic mercury, sulfic sulfur, and sulfic salt. Reshiram represents, or yeah, in this case represents sulfic mercury, which is the female of the three. It represents life. Zekrom is sided with sulfic sulfur, the male aspect, again reflecting in their male and female designs. And it represents the soul, which is weird because the three elements together build up the soul, but it's alchemy. It's very symbolic. It's very confusing. It's chemistry. And as I mentioned before, Kyurem represents sulfic salt. Now, these three elements create what's known as the three essentials. These three parts, when put together, make the soul, and when recombined, create what's known as the Philosopher's Stone. How the Philosopher's Stone itself fits into the whole Unova theory, I'm not sure yet, but it's a fun side note for now. And like I mentioned, Sulfic Mercury is very passive. And if we want to look at it politically, conservative. Whereas sulfic sulfur is a very active, reactive material. And if you want to look at it politically, liberals. I don't have any political thing for Kyurem.
You could say it's third party, since that's the last one left.
I was going to say Sarah Palin because she's from Alaska and she's cold. But yeah, no,
All
that works a lot better.
right, fair enough.
So the three essentials are said to be the children of the two contraries, which, as we mentioned earlier, they're a fluffy white dragon and a scaly black dragon. And you can see this in their designs, is that Zekrom and Reshiram take a lot of influence from this. Reshiram's a white fluffy dragon. Zekrom's a black scaly dragon. These two beasts can't exist without each other, and yet they're constantly eating at each other as they're depicted. It's this weird Ouroboros where one is eating the other's tail. They make a circle. And it's like Reshiram and Zekrom in constant conflict, but they can't exist without each other. They can't defeat each other. It's like Rava and not Unalaq and
There you
Vatsu.
go.
They're two opposite forces that they can't exist without each other. And even when one beats the other, there's still a bit of one inside it. Eventually, everything will come to balance, anyways. That wasn't in my notes, so I'm glad I made that connection.
That was pretty
So
good off
if
the
you
dome.
merge, thank you. So if you merge these three essentials, which are the children of the two contraries, you get this weird three-headed dragon thing. If you look it up, you're gonna notice that it's not a dragon. Not the way we see dragons, anyways. It's this weird three-headed lion lizard, almost chimera thing. But you know, it's supposed to be symbolic, so we're gonna call it a dragon just to keep things simple.
Right.
You have this base dragon that splits into three essentials that comes from two contraries. You have one original dragon, splits into three dragons, two contraries. So far, so good, right?
Right.
Everything's adding up.
Yep.
And I guess most of this chunk already comes from the video that I referenced. That was Lox and Noggin, awesome YouTuber. A lot of his videos have to do with alchemy, so I'm glad that we made that connection. But as I mentioned, I found a little more. But before I get into that, one thing he did mention was to merge mercury and sulfur, you needed salt to freeze the elements. And what type is salt, aka Kyurem? It's an ice type. So far, the three are working perfectly for this. So I also noticed that on Bulbapedia said that the three dragons are based off of what are known as the three pure ones. They're a Taoist trinity that took a lot longer than 2 hours to find all the connections to it, but I did find one quote. The Tao produced one. One produced two. Two produced three. three produced all things. And in this case, I want to see the Tao producing one original dragon, aka Taiji. Taiji is essentially the circle with the line through it that makes the yin yang symbol, but don't color anything in black.
Right.
That splits into two, aka Zekrom and Reshiram, or Kyurem Black and Reshiram. Kyurem Black and Kyurem White, which produce three, the three dragons, which produce all things being Unova, the region itself. Now, before we get into the lore of it and how it connects to the brothers and ancient Unova, just a quick fun fact. Kyurem, Zekrom, and Reshiram have the same types as the Cantonian legendary birds Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. I tried to find a connection between the birds and the dragons and didn't find much aside from the typing. So I tried to look at the team, the Pokemon Go teams, because they also have to do with the birds, and found no connection. And then I remembered, I shouldn't be looking at other games for more symbolism.
Right.
Who is the villain of Black and White? Or what's the villainous team?
I was going to say it's debatable, but then you said villainous team, and like, oh, okay, it's Team Plasma.
Yes, and plasma is accumulation of both fire and lightning. Both are forms of plasma. Coincidence? I think not. Now, getting into the lore of the original dragon. And this is before I tie my theory into it. What's known is that ancient Unova was ruled over by two brothers in an almost Romulus and Remus state. So these two brothers, they essentially, this is Unova's their territory. Right. And they're figuring out how to best rule so that everything is nice and fair. The older one, as you know, there's even an older and younger, despite being twins, they're like a few seconds apart or whatever. The older one wants to rule with truth. That's where their beliefs lay, where the younger wants to align themselves with ideals. And this comes into conflict. So they fight. There's a war. Neither brother knows what to do. They call upon the dragon for desperation. It splits. Zekrom and Reshiram fight. And they decide, because no one can win, they're just going to find peace. Neither side is right. And they find peace, not just for their land, but between each other. The fighting stops. The brothers are in harmony again. And then their sons decide to continue the war and destroy Unova. Yep. Fun.
Isn't that smart?
So I was looking over it, and I was watching a YouTube video. And the way the art depicted showed it as when the dragon was split, Reshiram was standing over one brother, Zekrom was standing over another. And I don't know whether this was intentional or not, so I'm going to go from the beginning of the myth and tie my theory into it. We have twin brothers that ruled over ancient Unova alongside their original dragon. And they fought over how best to rule the kingdom. Each brother took an army and fought each other, resulting in the destruction and great loss on both sides. In desperation, they called to their beloved dragon to aid them to turn the tide of the war in their favor. This dragon couldn't pick... Am I cutting out at any point? All right, good. I'm just making sure. So this dragon couldn't find a side to choose. So it split its power and bestowed it evenly amongst the two brothers, leaving nothing but a shell, which we now have as Kyurem, the shell of the original dragon. This, in other words, something without purpose, aka Wuji, tying this into its origins. So I don't believe that this dragon created two dragons out of itself. Rather, its power manifested into each brother's desires for truth and ideals. And this theory may not be so far-fetched. We have people that have turned into Pokemon before. Yamask in this region, Phantom in Kalos, Kadabra as a psychic type that was a boy who turned into a Pokemon in Kanto. So what if the dragon's power manifested and turned the brothers into dragons? The older brother who believes in truth turns into Reshiram. The younger brother who believes in ideals turns into Zekrom. Still seeking to win the war, they fight, but because neither can win, you know, they call a truce. They realize neither is right or wrong. But at this point, they're already dragons. And their children still want to continue the fight. And now that they're Pokemon, it's easy to catch Pokemon and tell them what to do. Any 10-year-old can do it, apparently. So the war continues, and this results in the destruction of ancient Unova. And eventually the dragons are sealed into their light and dark stones, respectively. We see this as soon as we enter the second gym. In the museum, you see the light or dark stone just sitting there. So essentially, that's my theory, and that's everything I can find on the origins of the three dragons.
So what's the theory?
My theory is that the original dragon doesn't split itself into Kyurem, Reshiram, Zekrom. It bestows its power onto two brothers, and what happens is the dragon itself, the original dragon, that's Kyurem. It's a dragon without its original power. But the power itself was split into two, into the two brothers. The two original rulers of Unova are Reshiram and Zekrom themselves.
That's pretty cool, actually. And honestly, so while you were explaining a lot of the... While you're explaining a lot of the stuff about how the dragon split itself into a bunch of different pieces, one, I don't really know any other legendary Pokemons, even Pokemons, Pokemon even now that really do that or have been said to do that. You know what I mean? So, but we have...
Most of the Pokemon that we have that were people are ghost types because they died. But the one exception that I could find was Kadabra, whose psychic power as a human boy turned it into a Pokemon. So a legendary dragon giving its power off to people, I don't see it to be that different.
And honestly, we already have legends of other Pokemon who bestow their power onto others. Like, while, so the thing that I'm thinking about is Ho-Oh with the three legendary dogs. So as the story goes for the uninitiated, there were three dog Pokemon that got caught in a house fire. This is the Super Bridge version, by the way. There's more to it. But essentially, three dog Pokemon got stuck in a house fire. And Ho-Oh comes down, sees the genuine nature of their heroism, and decides to revive them in its image. And it bestows upon them the powers of legendary Pokemon. So they become Suicune, Entei, and Raikou, with Suicune as their leader. And they, like, after that, it's just, they're incredibly strong Pokemon who roam around the Johto region. So we already have stories of Pokemon bestowing their power onto other beings, so I don't really see why humans would be any different.
No, I don't know. I don't think so. People have created Pokemon, so why can't Pokemon create Pokemon?
Yeah, man. Humans? And not to mention the fact that you see like martial artists, and you see psychics, and you see like people who are really into flying. It's like those are types. Those are literally the types of people that you're making. Like chemists would be poison type. Like doctors would be the new fairy type, like, you know, like, since we don't have fairy type in this gen, but like people would.
So when I catch Zekrom, I'm gonna bring him into a physical to show him how degrading and how much progress the world has made since it was
human. Yeah, man, you'll bring him into the show Cats, and then he'll be like, oh my god, you destroy this world all over again.
Yeah. Also, people keep creating this original dragon with a new name. But we already have the original dragon. It's Kyurem. It's what's left over. Yes, Kyurem turns into Kyurem White or Kyurem Black. It's still Kyurem. It's just white or black, depending on which dragon that you merge with it. If you merge both dragons, why so should its name change?
Speaking of Kyurem, white or Kyurem black, it kind of sucks how we never got, like, a Kyurem complete. Like, we got with, like, Zygarde. Like, in Sun and Moon, there's a Pokemon called Necrozma, and he can absorb both of the legendaries. He can absorb Solgaleo and Lunala. Like independently, but you can do them together and he becomes Ultra Necrozma, the current most powerful Pokemon in existence. You know? So it's like.
I believe that Kyurem would be the same thing. Kyurem wouldn't become a new legendary.
It would just be.
It's like he's
going to be complete, you know? And I think that'd be really cool. I wish that they did that. And there's still time, you know? I kind of hope they do that at some point. But
yeah, Sinnoh remakes are being made, so Unovan remakes aren't that far off. Probably would be something like this in the future. And if they create a legendary with a new name, I'm going to be disappointed.
But time will tell.
Yeah. So I told you it'd be around 20 minutes. It's about 21 minutes.
That's pretty good estimate.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed my theory. I hope you, Mr. Shrimp, enjoyed it.
You know, so that theory, I think I like that theory more than what the main game tells us, mainly because it's more in line with what we already know of the series. Like, we already have those stories of people being bestowed that power, and I think it would be, like, as interesting as the dragon not being able to split sides and then having the conflict arise that breaks apart its body. I think it being like, you know what, you guys can decide this, I'm outie. Like, that'd be, I think that's cool too.
There's one last bit that of my theory that I want to say. However, there's some spoilers. So before I give it or don't give it out, I want to ask, what's the relationship between Getz
and the relationship? Do you know yet? Got this. Sorry, that's a door. So I actually got this spoiled for me a very long time ago because I cared a lot less about the story. But I do know their relationship. I don't think we should tell the viewers just yet, but we'll get there.
All right, I'll save this bit. Remember, there's a little more to my theory, and it ties into ending Getsis. Kind of. Maybe more Getsis than anything.
Man, I can't wait to go check the Getsis and kick his ass.
I guess I'll have to reveal this. Yeah. I guess end cards. Do you
all right, so my last end card was me being upset that I'm still slower. Like, I'm 26 levels above a Basculin and still being slower than it. So I guess I can give an actual end card this time. Well, everyone, this one's actually been a bit longer than most of our other videos, but, you know, this game is still incredible. Please go pick this one up. It's really, really good. Yeah, from the captain of the True Tryhards, I say have a nice night.
And, as usual, don't forget to stay connected to Team We Tried. Stay disconnected from each other in real life, you know, 6 feet apart. Wear your masks, your gloves, whatever makes you feel safe. If I remember, one of the judges from America's Got Talent had a full bodysuit, but he had for different reasons, so it just kind of aligned. If you need
a hazmat suit to make you feel safe,
wear the hazmat suit. Do what you got to do to feel safe. That being said, I believe we have 2 episodes left, depending on if we want to split the last gym, Route 10, Victory Road, and Castle, all as 2 episodes or 1
that
episode.
That sounds a bit hectic. So, personally, I'll vote for 2 episodes.
It's big. And then we got post-game content, and then we still have to find Black.
Actually, I already got that covered.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay. So hyped. Okay. That being said, wraps up today's episode. It does. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm going to actually try to spread the word on the theory and see what happens. Man.
I'm also going to try to spread the word about that theory too and see how it goes. So, yeah, we'll report back in about a week, and yeah, we'll have some more progress under our belts. So we'll see you soon.
Yes. Everyone have a good night.